In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the subject of what governs, at the end, our behavior, our decision-making. And we said that there is something called an influence. And this influence might be the trigger behind all of my actions. And what does it mean to live under the influence of something? The picture maybe will be presented to you here that we presented 2 weeks ago about having some kind of a compass. We all have this compass in our brains. The problem is where this compass is pointing at. When we acquire the new man in baptism, this compass should be always pointing towards God and hinting to us towards heaven that we are called to live in. In the life that we live, sometimes we end up having some kind of a false magnet. This magnet is the influence that sometimes becomes what is hidden behind all of our actions. Everything is done pointing at this new magnet that is taking our interests, the passions of our hearts, and direct our actions as well. So 2 weeks ago, we spoke about what kind of influences, these kind of magnets that we might be exposed to. So we spoke about external influences, like culture. We spoke about the mind stealers, like the visual stimuli, what we see every day. The substance abuse, behavioral addictions, and communication technologies, and all of these external influence impact on our brains. External influence also, we spoke about parental style of upbringing, how we raise our children. This also makes some kind of influence on them. And the last one was the religious beliefs and practices. Internal influences, we said about them, they are more significant because they live within us. So last time we spoke about emotions and insecurity, superficiality, and convictions. And by convictions, we mean what we, at the end of the day, we embrace and we adopt as good, as helpful, as acceptable, as enough. This is what we, at the end, every one of us has his own convictions that we live by. Today, we'll speak about the fifth internal influence that can direct and shape our behavior, which is the ego. This is the most dangerous of all. The fathers, they call him Goliath of the spirit. If we have this, we all have some traces of this kind of enemy of influence inside us. And the range varies a lot. Between, at the beginning, maybe the minimal appearance is seeking praise, and we want others to see us and praise us or acknowledge what we are doing. Into the maximal appearance of this ego is that we have inside us a hidden God. It is a God, because simply we can have everything to work in order for this God to be praised. And every action is directed at this. Even something that looks good, like serving at the church, might also be used to gratify and to praise this internal God. I do this in order for me to be seen. The problem with this influence is that this will make me always to adopt what my mind only sees and accepts. Matters of faith do not make sense because simply my ego do not approve them. It is only what I perceive as good, what I feel is right. With this internal God also, matters of faith will be subject to approval and disapproval by the internal God. It is not because the church told me, or Abuna said, or Sayyidina said, or the Bible says. It is because of what I think is right. This is the magnet inside me that tells me what I should believe, what I should live by. Those who are governed by this internal influence, the ego, they look to the Bible from above. They give themselves the liberty to say, I agree and I disagree. This makes sense, this doesn't make sense. The Bible should be the book that has ultimate authority over our lives. But this is when we are subject to God, not subject to the internal God that sometimes we raise inside us. With this internal God working and active, then the cross is an offense. The cross that I should accept, for example, to be maybe insulted, or someone deals with me unkindly, or what I perceive as mistreatment, will not be tolerated whatsoever. Speaking about being forgiving, tolerant, accommodating, will not make sense. My ego will always tell me that insult or what I perceive from afar as mistreatment, I should react to it and I should make this person pay back for what he did to me. And when we speak about where is forgiveness, we have all the justifications in the world. The cross will be an offense. I cannot take this. I serve God as much as my ego allows me. I love the people as much as they love me, as much as my ego approves them. And this is the end. The cross is something that truly I cannot bear with. When this ego is active and working inside us, then we rebel. And the rebellion can take many forms. Can take the form of a manifest one. I reject everything, every authority, and I say it in your face. I don't agree, I don't accept. And this is what the theme of my life is about. Or my rebellion would be hidden, concealed, not seen. I defy everything that I don't agree with, even if I don't have the courage to say I don't agree. It is seen when this person has the liberty to act on his own, when this person has the right to make a decision, you can see rebellion in every single act. Because I don't agree that anyone would tell me anything to dictate my actions. When the ego is active, working inside us, a major influence, then counsel for me is irrelevant. I seek it just to seek approval and agreement from the person that I am seeking his or her counsel. I ask for your opinion to tell me I agree with you. But when you say I disagree, then you are wrong. I will find another person to give me the right counsel. It will not ever make sense for a person governed by the influence of ego that he will hear that you are mistaken and say, thank you very much, I got the message, I will change. It will never happen. The ego will never allow him to do so. That's why those people, they change their mirrors often. They move from a father of confession into another father of confession, another father of confession. What's the problem? If the mirror says to me that I need to shape up, to change something, then the mirror is a problem, I break it and I move on. I find another more spiritual person. Spiritual in my understanding means a person who agrees with me. When this influence is working and active, then there is a necessity for masks. Why? Because I have a God inside me. I don't want to admit that I worship another God inside me. So the only way is I do some kind of like disguise. I wear masks so I appear to others and even to myself as a godly person, a person who loves people and loves God, but deeply inside, I know that I am actually lying. The problem is not when I know, the problem when I believe the mask and the mask becomes my true faith. Meaning I believe myself that I am as I tell the people whom I am. Here there's a problem, and this kind of disguise is to hide this God. I don't want people to see it, but I want people to praise it, acknowledge his presence. When this internal influence is what governs me, then I live life by self-experience. It is what I taste, It is what I do, not what you tell me. That's why those people, they go into the same folds that they would warn it from. Don't do it. They will come and say to themselves, my parents do not make any sense. I am smarter. I will do things differently. I will walk in this, what they told me as wrong, and I will come out from it safely. Who would do this kind of action? A fool or a proud person? That's it. When you repeat the mistakes that you heard you should not be doing, and you say that I am going to walk in them and get something differently, this person either a fool or a proud person. The sixth internal influence, that's a major one, is the beloved sin. Sins are sins. We all have this kind of poison. They have this kind of pleasure that tempt us. But there is a difference between I hate the sin, or this is something I take it as part of me. I cannot live without it. I will defend it to the last breath till this sin takes me to hell. Living under the burden of a beloved sin will make us to experience the burden of craving. This is what I want to acquire. Everything in my life is directed towards how can I get more of this. Life is translated into this kind of sin. That's it. This is what I am seeking. This is what I want to live in. And then comes the burden of guilt. And again, this unpleasant feeling that we all experience when we sin. It is built in that whenever we do something wrong, we feel bad about ourselves. So what is the solution? I am craving for something I love, I don't want to leave, and I feel bad about it. Usually the suggestion that comes from Satan is cancel God. When you cancel God, you delete the guilt. Or this is what you think you can do. This is unfortunately the choice of millions of people in this world. Instead of admitting that I live under the influence of a beloved sin, I feel bad, I feel guilty, I want to seek help to get rid of it, then I will cancel what makes me to feel bad. It's exactly like a person who has a cancer, and then he decides to take some kind of painkillers, not to feel the pain, and live with his cancer without seeking therapy. The next point, we spoke about influences, external and internal. Then we come to the effects of living under influence. What are the effects when we choose to live under influences? Either we see them or we don't see them. The first and most significant and manifest effect is that we live in a different reality. This kind of reality is our reality. This is our own world. For example, if I live with a victim mentality, I have this kind of insecurity and always feel I am victim to others, then every action, every word spoken to me, every kind of treatment, I will perceive it as insulting. Those people are not treating me well, and I'm not taking what I deserve I should take. If I do wrong in an exam and I get a bad grade, my teacher is discriminating against me because I'm not white. If I mess up in my work and then it's time for me to receive consequences, it is because I'm Egyptian and that's why those people are treating me this way. So this person ends up living in his own reality. He sees things from this scope of the influence. And that's it. No matter how hard you try to convince this person, wake up. You are creating for your own self, your own realm and reality, and live in them. He will never get it. He will never believe it unless he acknowledges there is some kind of influence. My compass now is directed towards this synthetic magnet that I made it for myself. The second effect, of course, will be suffering not only for the person, but the people around him. We all know this. When someone lives under influence of something, people suffer around him. Everyone in his circle of intimacy will be in trouble because he will take everyone with him, trying to pull everyone to his reality or her reality. People see that this person is not going in the right direction. Trying to convince him, it doesn't work. The right solution is to let this person go, unfortunately. But this person is tied to many people around him, and everyone around him or her suffer. The third effect is captivity and loss of control and loss of freedom. And I am dictated by a master. Every master, every influence aims at enslaving us. The only master who frees those who follow him is Christ. The only freeing master is the Lord Jesus. Anybody but him, they work to make us slaves, captivated. We just cannot go away from them. We hate the day when we started practicing this or living under this influence. And unfortunately, we cannot find a solution out of it. What will happen is that we will have frequent stumbles. An accident after an accident. I have an accident in my life. I have accident in my work. I have accident in my family. I have accident with my neighbors. I have problems with the people in the church. From an accident to an accident. And every time I justify it to myself, people are not fair. The community around me are not loving. My managers are not really applying justice. Everybody but me, because I live, as I said, in my own reality. What will follow is I will either declare or conceal, but I will have it still, that I don't love God anymore. God becomes for me the person to be blamed for my suffering. It's not my choices. It is not because of the influence. It is not because of where I went and I took myself to. It is because of God. God was not fair to me. He was not loving. He was not wise. He did not put in consideration my needs. And that's why I am suffering. Another effect also is that this person who lives under influence will always go in circles with his life. I follow the influence, I suffer, I feel bad, I run from God, I go to the influence again, and then I feel bad about it, and it's just a circle. Going from a crisis to a crisis, going from a problem to a problem, and sometimes people feel like I am suffocated from inside. أنا مخنوق بس اللي خانقني إيه بقى؟ It is my influence. It is what I embraced and I adopted and became the theme of my life. This all will lead us to distraction and loss of focus, and heaven becomes something that's very far, very hazy. I don't know the way to it. I'm not even trying anymore. It is all about the influence that I am living enslaved to. What is the way to freedom from these influences? First of all, before everything, we have to acknowledge there is an influence, there is something, there is a magnet that is directing our life. Without coming to realize there is an influence, there is no way this influence can be taken away from our lives. If we keep denying and just being stubborn and justifying it is because of others, it is because of them, it is because of him, the influence will always be there, and this is the best setup for living enslaved forever. Number one, we have to avoid the exposure to harmful influences. Watching something immoral on the internet is not going to end the moment I turn off my computer. This is going to continue. And you will never know how far this is going to take you. Don't get in the way of these kind of influences. When we are in their way, they conquer. They are very mighty and powerful. The only way is to flee the influence, not to stay and play with it, and then you say at the end of the day, I will be able to pull myself safely. Avoid the harmful influence as much as it is within your ability. Don't get yourself in the way of a harmful influence, otherwise this might end up enslaving you. The second step, often check the reality that you live in. Away from your father of confession, not having one at all, not having a point of reference, not reading the Bible, will make this kind of new reality something that's, it's okay. This is what we know, this is what we believe is right. Always have someone to check with you. If you are living true reality, if your problems as truly as you perceive, or this is something different. Checking the reality can get you to see that you moved away from it. What's truly happening is not what you are perceiving. You have something else that's shaping your reality. The third step to freedom, live by what you learned as good and godly. It is said when people hear in the church over and over and over the same message, don't get yourself in trouble by going there, by experiencing this. And still people want to live by their experience, not by what they learned. They always feel like they are smarter than what the people who taught them. I know more than my parents. I know more than my church. I know more than the Bible. I can try things and I can come out safely. The fourth way to freedom is the renewal of the mind by learning, by acquiring the right experience, by repentance, and by discipleship. This word is the key to salvation, to be a disciple, to always feel like I need to learn, I need to submit to someone else who can direct me. Every novice who went to the monastery, always they assigned for him a spiritual father. So this novice will be a disciple to him. And those fathers, they always have their fathers. And this is how it goes. I'm amazed when I see today in some of the communities of the students in some of the colleges, they want to be free from all influences that's good. I don't want a priest or I want anyone to tell us or guide us, because now we are in the age where we can choose for ourselves. Those people will not tell us what to do. If I lost discipleship when I am 19 and 20, what exactly am I heading to? I am heading towards crisis and a disaster. It is not when you say to yourself, I don't need someone to guide me, that now you are a grown-up. It is now I'm walking in life with no direction. Those who live their lives and without direction, without counseling, without someone to guide them, they get themselves under influences. It is inescapable. It will happen, you like it or not. And the major one will be the ego, that we think that now we know what we do. It is just being driven by this master. And then comes another step for freedom, is the virtue of detachment. Love everything, love everybody, but don't be attached to anything or anyone. Be always detached. That's why the fasting, when it comes, is the season for this detachment, even for the love of food. There's nothing wrong with it. But even this kind of desire, we try to free ourselves from. There is a book, a very interesting one, called The Ladder, written by St. John Climax. He spoke about 30 steps in order for the person to achieve the communion with God. I think the first or the second step, he speaks about holding everything with an open hand. I don't mind losing anything or everything. The only one that has my loyalty, my attachment, is God. I love my family, I serve them, and I can put my life for them. But even them, I cannot be attached to them to the point that they can take me away from God. I heard a story about one of the godly people who said that whenever I have something and acquire something and I feel like I like it so much, I am attached to it, in the first occasion, I gave it as a donation to somebody else. Why? I don't want to be attached to this. Even it is something like a material. even like a habit. How many people they find difficulty in the morning to come to the church and take communion simply because they cannot start the day without taking coffee, for example. It's an attachment. With every attachment, there is influence. And then we go into this cycle. The sixth step to freedom is the daily encounters with Christ, the freeing master. Every day, prayer every day. Typically, whenever someone confesses, Abuna says, you pray every day, you read the Bible every day. And people are used to it to the point like sometimes it doesn't make any sense, even they don't take it as something that needs to be done. It is like a conclusion remarks. It's like salam, salam. It is the way we are to be freed when you come to this master who can enlighten your mind, can put light on the spots that are dark, can point you the influences, and can free you from their authorities. The last way to freedom is this life-saving thought, humility. When we have it, even if we live under influence, we will be saved. Someone is going to take us to shore safely. When we throw this away and we assume that we can swim in the flood of this world, I don't need anybody to tell me, I know how to get there. This is exactly where people are lost in the flood. I'm sure when Noah was building his ark, maybe some people along the way, they doubted and they start to think about it. Maybe this man is serious. Maybe some of them said, even if it rains, we will be able to swim. Maybe some of them said, I think he is right, but I do not want to acknowledge that I am mistaken or ask him to help me. Have this life-saving thought, always asking yourself, if I'm humble enough that I can ask for help, or just I know it all. I pray that all of us will live our lives freely, not under any influence, internal or external. I pray that we all take this gift of freedom from the hand of Christ and enjoy it and find through it peace and hope and joy. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.